Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, just a massive thank you to everyone who's been packing the European Beer Cafe for these live shows as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. One more left this weekend. Great lineup. So the lineup this weekend is Anne Edmonds, Cameron James, Ben Russell and Concetta Carista. It's going to be so much fun. So make sure you go and get a ticket at time of this recording. There are 12 tickets left and then we are sold out. So there will be no more after that. So 12 tickets. Get in very quick. Also, apparently he's been packing out as well. We've had a whole season so far of sold out shows. What I suggest doing is do the double. Do the podcast on Sunday, then go and get some dinner. And then an hour after that at 8:30 is the final one. That'll be a fun one. The last one. And then Ben and I will put it to bed. Thanks everyone who's been coming out to these shows. They've all been lots of fun. Also, thanks everyone who's Patreon subscribers. Hopefully you're enjoying the little Q&A, the apparently Q&As that I've been putting up. They've been lots of fun to do in the show and glad that you're enjoying them when I put them up and lots of likes. If you want to know what I'm talking about, go to patreon.com/dykwia. $5 a month, you'll get a weekly podcast. And now during festival, you get one every day for this week. And it helps me keep the lights on, helps me not have to worry about other work and can just concentrate on doing the little pod that could. Massive thanks to everyone who's been on iTunes and leaving 5 stars and a little review. That's always nice. And everyone who's been sharing the podcast around. So many people I see on Twitter when people are like, hey, I need some podcast recommendations, putting up DYKWIA and then having to explain what it is. But that's fine. And that's all I need to say. Enjoy this episode recorded live at the European Beer Cafe with Joel Creasy, Danielle Walker, Carl Donnelly and Luke Heggie. Don't you know who I am? Woo! Who was here last week?
Yay!
Thank you for coming back. Have some business to attend to. So, last week there was a guy in the front row from Tasmania who said that they don't have bumblebees. I went on the website, agcr.wa.gov.au, government website. You can trust it, okay? It's been fact checked. And look, the large earth bumblebee, Bombus terrestris, is common in Tasmania.
Yay!
Don't mess with me about bumblebees, okay? You'll fucking get stung. Okay, so although there was, I did have some misinformation. So I said that they were introduced to wipe out the European wasp situation. A listener, Jackie Steele, who's also an entomologist, she asked her colleagues and says, is this true? And they said, European wasp eggs are laid in cells inside their heavily guarded nest. I'm having trouble picturing a bumblebee stealthily tiptoe squeezing through a wasp nest in search of eggs. Didn't say it's impossible, though. So, hey, if this is your first time to the podcast, what I do, I get 4 very, very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now, our first guest. He shares his name with a construction professional in California. Can you please welcome us, Joel Creasy, everyone! Hi, Joel. Welcome.
I share my name with who?
A construction professional.
Well, he sounds hot.
In California.
Oh, no, my ex is from LA. No,
oh,
no,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever worked construction?
No, I have been in a mesh high-vis top before at Mardi Gras, though, in a construction hat. Needed hey, that.
That's close enough.
Yeah, that's close enough.
All right, also joining us is a woman who shares her name with the finance features correspondent for the website Business Insider in New York. Can you please welcome, it's Danielle Walker, everyone! Hey, Danielle.
Hello.
Do you know about this? Is a new one. I've never seen her before.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was having a chat.
That's all right. finance features correspondent for the website Business Insider.
No, I don't know what that is at all. Business.
Yeah. I think writer. I think she's a writer.
Oh, well, yeah, we've got that in common.
Yeah. You're all right. You could need sunglasses on or something.
I just got sidetracked because I was having a nice chat up the back and then I wasn't expecting... Sorry, I'm good. I'll be fine in 2 minutes.
Our next guest shares his name with an estimator for trenchless construction in British Columbia, but the one we have here is all the way from the UK. Can you please welcome, it's Carl Donnelly!
Hey!
So,
hey, mate.
That's two construction people this week.
I know. Yes. Oh my God, like the village people.
We start a rival construction company?
Oh, I would love that.
That is very bad at construction.
Yeah. Well, I'll do the admin.
Well, this guy, Carl Donnelly, in British Columbia, is an estimator. So he's not have to be exact. Just go, oh, I reckon it's that. Is that what an estimator does?
I think, I don't... That's not how I think.
We'll ask someone who's actually worked Labour, who's up next. And finally, it's a man who shares his name with an aviation mechanic from Jimboomba in Queensland. Can you please welcome from the Mid-Flight Brawl podcast, it's Luke Hegg, everyone! Now, Luke, have you worked construction?
Yes.
Yeah.
I still do, in fact. So we've got a startup that needs some help. Our business insider's not very good.
But do you know about this Luke Heggie in Queensland, Jimboomba? You're from Queensland.
Yeah, I'm from Queensland, yeah.
Where's Jimboomba?
Jimboomba, it's not far from Brisbane, it's sort of south, in the hills. And hill people.
Hill people?
Yeah.
We had them in Tassie. They're not
good.
Just two families, but about 500 of them. It was amazing. Yeah. But he's an aviation mechanic, and you do a podcast all about planes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm reticent to contact people directly, though. We're very, very disparaging to anyone we've ever looked at. And I'm going to get bashed if they find me. So I'm not looking him up.
All right, our first game today, it's called Social Me Media. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read out tweets from the four of you. If you know who wrote them, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You can't buzz for your own ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You get a point if you're right. A point to the person who actually wrote it if you're incorrect.
Okay.
So, here we go. First one. R.I.P. Prince Philip. Gone too soon. Wait for it. There's more. I got stuck on 99 once. I can't even express how sad this makes me. Saturday night show at Town Hall starting to shift tickets. Get in.
Luke Heggie.
You are correct, yes. Point there for Carl.
Classic Heggie bit of self-promotion there. Best self-promoter in the business. Always said it, mate.
I don't know about that.
Whenever there's a famous death, I'm like, I can't wait to see what shows Higgy's got to plug.
Yeah.
Because last time we were on, I read out the Jeffrey Epstein one. That was a good one. Yeah. A lot of good feedback on that one.
Yeah. Good night, sweet prince. No one was...
Do you follow that Twitter account, Liza Minnelli has outlived? And every time Liza Minnelli has outlived someone, it tweets, Liza Minnelli has now outlived Prince Philip. And it's fantastic. How's she still going?
What happens on the day she dies?
I know, that Twitter account's bad. Yeah.
I have a joke about Prince Philip in my show. Mm. And the night he died, got away with it. The next night, everyone's like, oh, too soon. I'm like, I was doing this for months. If anything, it's the exact right time to be doing it.
And he's been dead for months as well. Yeah. So.
Next question. My dad was over the moon with his world's best dad anal beads.
Joel.
I heard Joel first.
Danielle?
No, it was Carl Donnelly. Yeah. Another one there for Carl.
It's not 100% true. A bit of artistic license.
Didn't get him engraved.
It was my mother. No.
Does anyone buy their dad a Father's Day present?
Fuck, I thought you were going to say anal beads.
I know. Yeah. Why look at me?
No.
When is Father's Day?
September.
First Sunday in September.
Too much on in September.
Because Mother's Day is a big thing. Everyone celebrates Mother's Day. Father's Day, I reckon you get like 10 minutes in the morning and that's it.
No, my dad loves gifts.
Oh, does he?
He loves it. He's like always, go see what he likes on Instagram and then go find something. He's always into like a fashion a 19-year-old boy would want. Like, he's always like, we need to go to Maya because I need a leather bracelet.
It feels really outdated. I get things like cards from my kids, like in the shape of a necktie.
Yeah.
Like a 50s dad. Like, I've never worn a necktie. They've never seen me in a necktie. I've worn a tie since I was at
They're
school.
They're asking you to smarten up your act. Sick of all this T-shirt dad business.
Next question. An Australian seeing Cardi B's pussy for the first time. Marge, the reins are here.
Carl.
Yes, Carl.
That's Danielle.
That is Danielle, yes.
And that's an iconic ad.
Do you know this ad, Carl, that we're talking
not
about?
Not at all.
He goes, they're eating corn on the roof. And all the corn juices are flying everywhere because corn's quite juicy. Mm. And the people downstairs feel the rain hit them because they're in a drought. And then they yell, Marge, the rain's are here.
And they're really happy because it's rained for the first time. Yeah. But then they realise, it's not.
No.
It's the most Australian thing I've ever heard.
They feel like real hill people from that town.
Why is it about Cardi B then? What's that? Who's that?
That's
from... Oh, God.
What?
That's why you're getting those cards on Father's Day.
My kids asked me what a WAP was the other day.
Loose? What's that?
My kids asked me what a WAP was the other day, and it's not what your generation thinks it was, which is from Kingswood what? Country. And we both, my wife and I, go, oh, I don't know. And they were like, because the song came up in some TikTok they were watching. So I just played dumb.
Did
when I really wanted to say, I'm actually pretty cool and I know what it means. So, yeah.
You should learn the routine with them. It's like a bonding, family bonding exercise.
I'll be Megan Thee Stallion. Yeah. Cardi B.
So you.
Next question. I got told I don't respect audiences. Bullshit. There's nothing I like better than when a joke hits and their stupid little faces light up.
Joel.
Danielle.
Yes, Joel.
Luke?
Yes, you are correct. Point of show. You like that one, Heggy?
Oh, I forgot. My Twitter's like solely for bereavement purposes these days. And that I forgot was from, I did a couple from like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
maybe,
it was so. From 2016, that one.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Next question. Off to do my first stand-up gig in 9 months. Frantically watching old YouTube clips of myself in the back of an Uber.
Danielle.
It's only watching myself back I realise that all those people who have called me irritating over the years really have a valid point.
Thank you.
Joel.
You are correct, yes.
And I was in bed. I didn't have a gig. Popped on a best of.
What was your first gig back?
The Royal Brighton Yacht Club, because I've got a real type. And they loved me. I didn't make a joke. I just did this around the stage for 45 minutes. They thought, this is art.
Were you busy that night, Heggy? Said no to us. What was your first gig back?
Oh, we never stopped. We didn't fuck it up like down here. We're fine.
And Carl, how many gigs did you do before you... Because you were in London.
Yeah,
And then you were in quarantine here. And then what... Start
first
festival straight
I
away?
First gig I did was at the Comedy Republic here. And I was... Shit. But then it took a few gigs and you don't forget it, do you? You're just a bit ropey.
Never had it, so... Daniel, because you're back up in Brisbane now.
No, I'm in Sydney. I moved to Sydney. Right. Yeah.
You coward. Got away.
Sorry. I did the second lockdown here and then I moved there and then I had to do their shit, other lockdown sort of, when all the shit in the Northern Beaches happened and then I had to go to Darwin... And lock myself in a miner's donga.
That's right, you and
Joel. You never say a bad word to me again about it, Joel. Josh.
Yeah. Oh, am I trouble?
I can look at see both of you and I'm angry.
Did you do the Darwin thing?
Yeah, I did the Darwin.
Oh my God.
But you were in there the same time as Nikki Britton, weren't you?
Yeah.
But you couldn't see each other.
No, we'd go hang out by the fence.
It's like rabbit proof fence.
Yeah, every day 4 o'clock. We tried to bring hand sanitizer and play handball by sanitizing our hands in the ball. Because you're allowed to sort of semi near each other, but then we were worried about the ball like going into a different fenced off area. Oh. So then we just sort of like, you know, let Nikki have, because I was having a, like the food was horrible because it was made by I guess, like Darwin chefs. No offense to Darwin chefs, but it was bad. But I think Nikki was having like a rougher time because she hadn't done the second lockdown here.
Yeah. But do you think if your tennis ball went somewhere else, but it's like the Gaza Strip, you're gonna fucking okay, it's no another 2 weeks.
I reckon I would have just got there. Was this one man who we'd watch every afternoon who did his walk at the similar time, and he just used to like duck underneath the fences and go from area to area. And we wanted
Sounds
to
like
dob him in, but we didn't.
Quarantine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we didn't dob him in, but because you know you don't want to dob in. No, so I think he was from the international area too, where you're not supposed to like. Oh, actually, that is actually worse now that I think about it.
You need like a top dog, like at prison.
Yeah.
Because actually, the international area, they're only supposed to be on their balconies. They're not supposed to leave their balconies. There are all these like English men who were just roasting themselves in the sun.
I'm literally right here, mate.
All right, next question. My new hobby is drinking more water so I can pee more often. Just something to do to pass the time.
Luke.
Yes, Luke.
That's Carl.
No, that's Danielle Walker. Put there for Danielle.
It was me. I told you I had got really bad acne in the second lockdown.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
From stress, and I was trying to get rid of it by drinking water.
Just flush it out.
A lot, yeah. Not funny, just I just needed to do something.
All right, next question. I think people need to start cutting the PM a bit of slack. It must be incredibly challenging running a country while being a total fucking idiot.
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
Luke Heggie.
No, that was Carl Donnelly. Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
We're not the only country with a dickhead PM.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. I'd argue ours is worse than yours.
Absolutely not.
Do you not reckon?
I hate our cunt more than anyone in the world. I cannot stand it.
We hate our cunt more than you hate your cunt.
Be surprised. I didn't know that. I know he's unpopular and stuff, but yeah. I think Boris Johnson is such a, like, he's so posh and fucking annoying. I thought the hatred towards him would be more visceral. No. Mostly I hear about Scott Morrison is slightly
hated.
Barbed piss takes.
No, I think he's the most hated for fucking decades.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
that's something totally. To be, you can take that home with him, can't you? Like, yeah. I suppose. Something to be remembered for, isn't it?
Sorry.
All right, next question. Remember when we all cared about Jessica Watson sailing around the world? And then she sailed into a shipping lane in the first few days and we're all a bit like, are you sure this is a good idea? Such a simpler time. Take me back.
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
Joel.
You are correct, Danielle. Yes, it was Joel, yes.
Do you know, I worked at Sanity Music when I was a teenager.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
And she had an album come out.
That's
that lady.
Right. She
it was called Songs to Sail To. And we had to play it for like weeks on end in the store. And it was just like that Enya song, Sail Away, Sail Away.
So it would have been Sail Away, would have been Sailing. Who sings?
The John Stewart.
Yeah. And then the rest is just remixes of those two.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Just songs about water, other things that sort of semi relate. It was the worst thing we ever had to listen to in that store.
Didn't have 6 months in a leaky boat on it, so that's good. did you? So she didn't do a song though on it.
No. It was just a compilation of songs that had water-related and sailing-related songs on it.
Oh, my gosh. She's a nightmare. Yeah. Like, get a life, really.
What's she do now?
Oh, so exactly. She hasn't done Dancing with the Stars. You might have to get me out of here. I mean...
Yeah, no second album.
Exactly.
Next question. When we bought a television, it came with the film Love Actually preloaded. Free. All we have to do is turn the fucking thing on a Friday.
Carl.
Yes, Carl.
Luke Heggie.
You are correct, Carl, yes.
The only ones I know are the ones I did.
That's the game. You're not meant to know. Otherwise,
yeah,
you're a weirdo.
I haven't memorised your
thing.
Three Twitters.
Someone else fucking yells at me.
But pre-show, I did memorise every single tweet that you've ever done. So.
It really is a film on all the time.
Oh, it's gross.
Like, it's
terrible.
Yeah.
Hasn't aged well.
No.
It's getting a lot of shit from your types, actually.
Podcast hosts. And our final question for this round. Imagine joining the army thinking it's going to be all machine guns and camouflage in the desert only to end up having to disband an 8-person barbecue in lockdown.
Joel.
Yes, Joel.
Danielle?
No, that was Carl Donnelly again.
God.
Yes.
Thank you. Really wrapped
you
up the
You throw me off because you still have topics that seem like they could be Australian topics.
Mm. That's the
I'm just like, why is it not just the Queen and
of
stuff?
Having a broad sense of humour.
Fucking here all the time.
That is it. I've married one of you, so I sort of feel like I should keep my toe in the pond.
Also, I like Danny thinking he just should tweet exclusively about the Queen.
Yeah.
The Queen, Spice Girls.
Oh, I'd love that. I'd start following
you. Yeah. Probably boost my numbers somewhat. Yeah.
All right, at the end of the first round, the scores are Luke Heggie, 0 points. Sing off the mark there. Joel Creasy on 1 point.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Danielle Walker on 3 points. In the lead on 6 points, it's Carl Donnelly.
6 points.
You come here, take our wives. Take our points.
All right, this round is called 9 to 5, What a Way to Make a Living. Now, we've all had jobs. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not so good. And today we're talking about a job that a young Luke Heggie had. Oh. Now, Luke, for a short time, was in the UK working in a pub. But what happened at this pub that Luke still considers to be one of the best days of his life? Was it A, the pub had one of these archaic policies that if someone turned up with a horse, the pub had to house the horse? This never happened until one day it did happen, and Luke had to go tie it up, give it water and feed it. Luke had no idea what to feed it apart from hay and apples, but the pub didn't have any of those, so Luke thought he'd just treat it like a big dog and feed it mince. The horse had quite a reaction to it and shat severely. But what made the shitting so great was that it all went over the pub's windows in the dining room where the posh diners were eating. So that is A. That's just all in A. Okay, B. During the dinner service, an old woman lost her mind at Heggie because she said he didn't enunciate properly. Luke replied that he was Australian and she started getting very animated and angry about it. So much so that her top teeth fell out and smashed on the floor. Or C. The owner asked Luke to go tell a table full of rich, posh people to fuck off. Now, one of these is true. You can ask me as many questions as you want, but bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he gets your point. You don't have to answer altogether. You can answer A, B, or C, whatever. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
Have you any previous history of horses from your hometown?
I've never really liked horses. Like, despite what people say about the majesty of horses and that, I've never given a fuck about horses.
Right.
Don't really care about them.
Okay.
I don't know what about them.
Danielle, did you have horses growing up?
No, but there was one next door, and it was the first time I saw how big
a horse is.
Yeah, I saw the dick come out when it went to pee.
Oh my god!
Because they're up and then they come down.
Yes.
Yeah, that was interesting. And when I worked at the dog boarding kennel, our boss was a horse dentist, and we had like 3 horses that lived in the paddock out the back. So I've been around some horses. Oh,
horse dentist does horses, sound like an old-timey slur, by the way. They're a fucking horse dentist, if you know what I mean.
I've been, you say they've got quite big. Yeah, I've been ejaculated on by a horse.
What?
Not by choice.
How did that happen?
I was filming a documentary with Reese Nicholson in Colac, and they said, do you want to watch a horse and a bull? The bull was called Kai as well. I was like, what are you, PT from South Yarra? And they said, do you want to watch these two horses have sex? And we're like, oh, obviously. And then the one horse pulled out too early and it was like a super soaker.
Oh.
And it sort of shot through the air like a silky lasso and went all down my face. And
got him out?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Never called. Yeah, it was awful. And I knew I had to give like 5 minutes of like TV, like, oh, this is gross. And then I was like, all right, cut the cameras, I'm leaving. So I drove off and left the whole crew and Reese there at the farm for about 3 hours while I showered. This was about... But this was about you, wasn't it?
Where do we go from there?
Am I supposed to comment on that?
Yeah.
Pointing
salty
at me.
Salty is the answer to your next question. Because everybody asks. So C, was your boss, what was his name?
Bernie.
And
in fact, you know, I don't know who his last name was. His name, this guy's name was Bernie Startup. And he was he was an arsonist to top that. He burnt down a heritage listed building next door so he could make a B&B next to the pub.
So he sounds like the sort of person that would happily go and tell a table.
He was fucking excellent, man. He was a great guy. Ex-copper.
So he would actually... it's more likely that he would go over and tell the table of posh people to fuck off.
Oh, he did that all the time.
So then why did he make you do it?
Well, he just wanted to give me a gift.
So do you reckon arsony ran in the family, and that's why they called him Bernie to begin with? They were like,
I don't know. It's a classic name.
Did you say it was the best day of Heggie's life?
Best day of his life, he said.
Not I think one off. To fuck one off. Off. You know, yeah, I've got sorry. Kids now. You've got kids to say that that's... Yeah. You know,
yeah. Kids married.
Pre that, still fucking... Good. Like, for someone who worked in hospitality, I don't know if any of you do. How would I? But, like, you fucking... Like, you really want to, you know, just tell people to fuck off. And you want to tell old women. You want to laugh at old women. You want to fucking do what you can. Do what you can. Yeah. Just get something back.
Yeah, you know? Okay. It's good. All right, I'm coming back round to see then.
I have a question.
Go on.
Because there was a point in the UK where some of the mints that was being sold there contained horse within it. What years was this within?
This was 1998.
Oh, no, that's quite a bit earlier.
So that is pre-horse meat scandal.
You know, I was six years old.
After the death of Princess Diana.
Well, it was exactly during the BSE issue, the mad cow thing. Oh. But still, I hate horses, so fuck them.
So that one wouldn't... So this was the best day of your life, so...
What was the best day of my life? Feeding the horse or the...
This day. So what was good about the horse day? Was it that you made the horse sick?
Shat on the like on the windowsill. You know, sometimes they lift their tail and just fucking bang.
Oh. Yeah.
And
I know.
And it wasn't great. It wasn't like those round ones that you throw at your brothers and shit. It was like a fucking frothy gravy sort of. And it just rode up the... And they were like lead light windows too. So it's fucking cleaning in them. It's a fair bit of cleaning to get that off.
Oh, okay.
And people are having their, you know, posh dinner right there. And boosh, skid mark up the window. Pretty good.
Very confused. What was B?
B was the old woman's teeth fell out and smashed on the floor when she said you weren't enunciating properly.
Oh, no, I mean, they
didn't smash. Like, one of them broke. You sound like it's fucking shattered like a fucking... broken flute of, you know, crystal. No, it's like one smash. Mm. She still picked him back up, but there's one that was fucked.
Oh, it's pretty good. You're really enjoying that. So.
But he also loved talking about the horse's frothy gravy shit.
Make it very hard.
I will say that law that you state. I don't think that's true. So this is why I think happening.
They've still got this shit. Like, you still...
I'm 39 years old and I'm from England. I've never seen a horse drinking in a pub.
Oh, no, this is 25 years ago. They're still doing that. This is hundreds of years old. They've still got those things where you can piss on the back wheel of a fucking cop car and shit. Like, admittedly...
You can't. My friend got arrested for pissing on a horse, on a police van.
Well, yeah, just, you can't piss on the police van, but you can piss on the car.
Not from the inside.
Now, you're from the UK. Can you? Because I brought this up on a podcast weeks ago, and people didn't believe me. That they have these things called pissoirs that come up just in the middle of the street at night, and you can piss on them, and they go down again in the morning.
What?
Yes.
To our shame. but no, in central London,
in
Soho
the West End,
and stuff, there is basically they're four way. It's like a sort of cross section like that, and so four men can piss
it's
at the same time.
It's not just bumblebees I know about, guys. Bumblebees, and where men can piss. Ah.
Yeah, I don't think you realise how feral the English are.
Men?
Oh,
that's
no,
great.
We don't. Your people have visited here before. Like.
Man, I'll spend a night in jail because they don't exist here. Like, it's fucking grim.
Right.
Try pissing here and find yourself fucking fingerprinted a mugshot. See what happens.
Where were you doing this? Whereabouts?
Brisbane. Sort of on the tail end of the Job era.
Because my brother got arrested for doing bashed. It. Had to go it? To, my brother got arrested for pissing in the street and had to go to court.
Yeah.
Oh, my
and
God.
They, like, he had one of those lawyers that were, like, just given to him, and the lawyer said, well, you're going to pay the fine. That's the most they're going to do. And he's like, well, I don't need you then. I'll defend myself. Uh-oh. And the judge said, anything you want to say? He goes... Your Honour, when you've got to go, you've got to go. The defence rests. And then the judge went nuts at him. Like, fuck it. He said, if I could give you more, I would, but I can't. And,
Good on him, though.
I should get Jace on the podcast. He tells it better.
I got an indecent exposure charge for that.
Really?
Sick. Like, I might as well just run around nude in the middle of the day down the Queen Street Mall. It's the same fucking thing. It's ridiculous.
Make the most of it. I'd love to go and represent myself, though. I don't want to go to court, but I'd love to represent myself.
What would be the crime that you've done?
Oh, I don't know.
Wanking off a horse.
Bestiality. no, but I'd like Rhett, I'd go full fucking Elle Woods from Legally Blonde, yeah, representing. I'd brush up on those the night before. Might do a number.
All right, what do people think? They think A, B, or C. So, Joel, I'll get you first.
I reckon B, because you mentioned that you liked yelling at old women, and then
take it easy, man. It's not a daily occurrence, but when they're awful, yeah, for sure.
And your face just lit up when talking about her tooth cracking. So I'm going with B.
Danielle,
I'm going to go C.
C, the fuck off.
Yes.
Yep.
And I'm going to go C as well. I just feel it's very on character.
The correct answer was C. Oh, yes, a point there for Danielle. 1 point for Carl. 1 point for Heggie. So you got to tell how many people at the table?
Four
people at the table. Mm. How'd they react?
Not well. They were really sort of posh types, and they were being arseholes all night. And my boss came into the kitchen where I was cooking and goes, "Hey, you go out and tell these people to fuck off." I said, "Man, are you sure? Don't take this away from me. This is going to be the culmination of my whole life here." And went out and just said, "I've just spoken to the owner, and fuck off." And they're like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 what'd you say, young man?" I said, "You heard me, fuck off." And I stood at the door and held the door open and just mouthed the word fuck off across the restaurant until they left. It's great.
Did you get a tip?
It was very good.
They leave a tip? No tip? All right, at the end of that round, the scores are Joel on 1 point, Luke on 1 point, Danielle on four, but in the lead still on 7 points is Carl Donnelly.
I'm just going to say the same answer as you every time. Just stay ahead.
All right. Well, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about someone else on the panel. If you think it's true, you'll say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you'll say nah. You can ask as many questions as you want. Bear in mind, they want you to get it wrong so they get your point. Yeah. So, the first one is to Luke. Now, Danielle's granddad would breed very large chickens and roosters that every time Danielle had to feed them, they would attack her.
I'm already thinking yeah, but go on.
Wait, there's more. When she told her mum said that she was being overdramatic. But one time, Danielle went away for the weekend, and when she came back, the rooster was gone, and her mum had a huge bandage on her neck. Danielle asked what happened, and her mum has refused to tell her. Yeah or nah? You can ask me questions.
Well, like, your mum just said, "No, I'm not telling you."
No, she'd just, like, skate over the subject. She'd just be like, no, you need to go clean your room up. Off you go.
And you, Danielle Walker, accepted that. Just went, "No, I'm not asking any more questions. I'll just go clean my fucking room."
I was taught never to question authority from my mum.
Bullshit.
My mum has a strong arm.
Oh, yeah? Did she used to bash you?
Yeah, once the sprinkler nozzle went missing and she accused me of hiding it from her.
Yeah, okay.
And then she chased me around and I jumped in the pool to get away from her. And then it turned out the dog had just picked it up and moved it. But she still thought that I was gaslighting her.
Okay.
She still believes that I hid it. Even
still
though,
now, to this day.
To this day, she's like, "You fucking little bitch. You were such a little bitch growing up." Like, "You were the one who hit me."
But not to say, but I could tell that you had been smacked as a kid. Because you're punctual. I've never had to wait for you on a podcast ever.
I would have said because Townsville.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that. You know, every generation does better than the last. And my mum says that my granddad, because they lived in the rainforest, used to go out, if they'd been naughty, he'd go out to find a good, like, vine that was, like, green, that had a really good whip to it.
Joe Jackson style.
He'd whip their asses so that boils would come up. And so that's why they were good.
We were always, like, threatened with the jug cord from the kettle.
Mama, Jesus
hit me
Christ.
With the jug cord, yeah.
Oh, a vine from a tree sounds great.
My dad used to rip his belt off, which was the jug cord.
Just to clarify, some people can just show up on time having not been beaten. I just tend to be able to tell the time.
Because I would say, not smacked, smacked, not smacked, smacked.
Oh. You've nailed it.
I think I have.
Absolutely nailed it.
That's my new podcast, Smacked or Not.
Is it just also the guests from much? Queensland have been
exactly.
smacked?
Are you from Queensland? That's a pretty basic smacked. All right, I've forgotten the question.
Rooster attacked your mum.
Oh, the rooster attacked your mum. I'll get to it. I mean, fuck. Are you an only child?
No.
Oh, Are you a liar? Are you the youngest?
No, I'm the oldest by 8 years.
Are you fucking lying now? Like, am I allowed
no,
to ask?
No, my sisters are twins and they're 8 years younger than me.
Oh, okay. Okay, right.
It's not cool. Twins they're annoying.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're talking to your sister?
Yeah, no, we're good. I ran into her last night. The good, there's a good one. I live with the bad one. When she moved to town, because she moved to town when she was 17, and nobody wanted to live with her because she was 17 except for like 40-year-old men. So I was like, absolutely not. I'll move in with you. And then when she just wouldn't, if she did a shit, she wouldn't flush the toilet.
What?
She would just leave it in there to spite me. And it worked because I was angry. And then to retaliate, I would squash her avocados so they'd be bruised.
Are they identical twins?
No, fraternal.
Oh, okay. Slightly less creepy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go, yeah.
Luke, you are correct. It is a true story. Yeah, it's a point there for Luke. Yeah.
There's some lunatic shit going up in FNQ. Yeah.
How big are these roosters?
Like the size of a goat.
Oh, my God.
My granddad would just, like, over the years, he just bred all these chickens to be humongous. Like, they were, like, you know those cows that you see that are just all muscle and they look like bodybuilders? Mm. It was like that with the roosters. And they this
Did he
rooster
fight
would... Pardon?
Did he fight them?
Well, he put them all together in a pen once.
Oh, right.
Because if you have... If the chickens have babies, they're not all girls. Mm. And so he just had a separate pen for all the boys because if there wasn't any girls around, the boys wouldn't fight. And that way he didn't just have to kill them all. Mm. So he would have them separate. But the one we got, he was like, he's a good rooster. He's a good specimen. But he was just like a bodybuilder of a rooster and he would always try and come in. So I would have to go in with a piece of poly pipe and like hold him back from me the whole time I was trying to feed him because he would try and attack me because he had these like talons on the back of his legs that were like this long and spiky. And I told Mum and she wouldn't believe me. So I went away on a scout camp and I came back and it was the back of her leg. She had like a bandage around it and the rooster was gone. And I was like, the rooster did that? And Mum refused to tell me, but Dad was like, yeah, the rooster did it.
Joel, do you have any similar stories about, you know, the servants at your house doing anything to you?
I know, you said it's as big as a goat. And I was going to be like, and how big is that?
I never saw its dick. It was...
What was his name?
All right, to Danielle. Now, at a wedding of his wife's friend, Carl thought a fun thing to do would be to take acid and not tell anyone. He isn't sure if he got away with it, but he is sure that he ended the night with only one trouser leg. Yeah or nah?
So...
Yes.
Did your wife know you were on acid or you didn't tell her either?
She did not know. And when she found out, it led to the event that caused the one trouser leg.
Oh, and what was the event?
We had a absolute shit fight, at which point she was shouting at me, and I was on acid, so I wasn't really in the mood for a domestic. So rather than engage in the argument, I decided to run away. And as I went to run, she went to grab me, and her hand went into my back pocket, got caught, and as I just ran off, she just pulled one whole trouser leg off.
Oh, man. How do you get a whole leg off? You a stripper.
Yeah. Like, I was.
Press studs.
I was wearing my stripper suit.
Yeah. Were these good friends?
They were her friends.
Okay, so...
Hence the acid. And I will clarify, it was also my ex-wife.
Oh, okay, true.
You gonna say true?
Yeah.
You are correct. It was a true story.
Oh, it was a really bad choice. I wasn't really enjoying myself, and we were going through a rough patch. And I was at a wedding, not enjoying myself, and remembered I had some acid in my wallet. And I went, well, this will liven things up. And I really misjudged the dosage. I was mad.
I was at a friend's house recently and I said, I want to try acid because I haven't tried it before. And then her boyfriend just popped his head around the corner and said, I've got some. I just had it since like 2007 from a surfing trip. I just got it in the room in a box. Do you want that? And I was like, no. 2007?
Does it go off?
Anyway. I don't know. I've not done it before. I'm scared of everything.
Does anyone know if it goes off?
It goes off.
It goes off. There you go.
So what?
Look at you. Oh. You're so happy.
What would have happened? Would it just not have worked, or would I have gone nuts, or? You thought, okay.
Well, isn't that the same thing, though? If you think it works, it works.
Yeah, placebo.
All right.
Sorry, it's just you announced yourself as the expert. So.
Are you on it now? Because we're not here.
All right, to Carl now. A few years ago, Joel was on set filming a TV show called It's a Date alongside comedian Tom Ballard. In between takes, they were just talking shit when Tom told Joel some very juicy gossip about a very prominent Australian comedian. As they were discussing it, Peter Hellyer, the creator of the show, ran over to them shouting, "Mic'd up, boys, you're mic'd up."
Oh, quality.
And Tom and Joel both had to go apologise to the sound crew and then ask them to please delete the audio so they don't get sued. Yeah, oh, or nah?
I mean, I'll ask some questions, but it's definitely yes. I'll play the game.
Yeah. Well, I was raised the right way. I was taught to talk behind people's backs. Yeah. It'd be way funnier that way.
Has the rumour since come out? Or is it still fully secret?
Well, yeah, it wasn't so much... Yeah, well, I guess it was a rumour. Yeah, for sure. Because this was a while ago. It was maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
So can you tell us who it was and what the crime was?
Well, we spoke about so many people that it was kind of hard to narrow down who specifically we should be worried about.
Okay. Did the person ever find out you had bad-mouthed them?
Oh, for sure. See, I think they've pieced things together since. Oh, yeah.
Excellent. And what was the comeback from that?
Well, I'm still working.
It's a yes.
You going to say yeah?
Yeah,
Carl,
of course.
It was a nah.
What? Yes!
You're such a bitch.
I just feel like that's happened on everything that's ever happened. So the sound men have been like, "Hey, everybody, just letting you know, they can hear you back there."
Yeah. I mean, it technically is a true story, so you should get like a half point because I've done it loads of times, but just didn't do it with Tom Ballard.
All right, now to Joel now. Now, Luke once rode his bike across South America. In one town, he feared for his life as a pack of angry dogs were chasing him. He honestly thought they were going to tear him off the bike and maul him to death, when in the distance he saw a bunch of kids playing. He's not proud of it, but he thought if he rode the dogs into the kids, the dogs would get distracted and leave him alone. It worked, and Luke is here to tell the tale. Yeah or no?
So you rode your bike across South America. Oh, regular Jessica Watson.
I didn't make a big fucking deal of it. I just did it. Yeah.
When's your album coming out?
Did you ride into a freeway in the first 5 minutes? What countries did you go through?
I went through Argentina, Chile, Bolivia, Peru and Ecuador.
Shit, okay.
Andeans. Mostly okay. Andes.
Yeah.
Countries, yeah.
And so,
it's fucking hard.
So these dogs were chasing you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Chile.
Yeah. And now in scale to a goat, how big were these dogs?
Various sizes, but street dogs. They're mangy fuckers. Angry, though. Look, real angry. Yeah. They'll go, yeah. They don't give a fuck.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
they're biting my saddlebags and stuff. I had...
Were they?
Yeah.
I was going to say true.
I knew if
but
I said saddlebags, you'd be...
Yeah. Oh, false, please.
You're going to say, nah, that is not a true story. Yeah, but it's based on a true story. So point there for Joel. But most of it is true.
Well, everything I said was true.
What did I
just
make
not
up?
The kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that to our future.
So how did you get away from it? Just pedaled really fast?
Yeah, I just kept going. Like one was actually hanging off the saddlebag.
So that was true. Into it,
oh, that was the thing that. Because you giggled on saddlebag.
Yeah. No, I just knew the term saddlebag would make you laugh, you fucking child.
I know, because I was like, that's a bit gay.
So how long were you away? How long?
A year. It took a year.
Oh, yeah. What was amazing? Anything amazing about the. No, not why. Well, I guess you're running away from something, but what was same reason they're chefs in Darwin, anything amazing happened in the time? Like, what was the best country?
I was running away from this guy, and fucking 10 years later, here I am.
Yeah.
it's just a great trip. It's good. It's fucking hard. The Andes real hard. I crossed them, probably 10 or 12 times, like various, you know, spots. It's good. Good trip. Very nice. Very fun.
There you go.
Just get away. Mainly just looking for the next toilet. A lot of it was like, fuck, where is the next toilet? I got to park my breakfast now. So.
All right, at the end of that round, the scores are, Luke, you're on 2 points.
Yes.
For Luke. Joel Creasy, 3 points. Danielle, 5 points. Oh. Carl, 7 points still. All right, this is our last round. It's called Who. In this round, I read out 10 questions about you four. If you think you know who it's about, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you're right. Point off if you get wrong. Can't buzz in for your own ones.
Okay.
Your names are your buzzers. Here we go. Who once ate dog food just so they could stay home and watch McLeod's Daughters?
Luke.
Yes, Luke.
Danielle.
Yes, it was.
You might as well just said, who's Danielle? Yeah.
It didn't even work. It was like we were doing our Holy Communion. My dad made me do my Holy Communion, and we had to go do like a Bible study group every Wednesday night when McLeod's Daughters was on. And so I thought, for some reason, I was like, if I threaten my dad that I'll eat dog food, he won't take me. And so I picked up the dog food and I was like, I'll eat this if you make me go. And then he was like, go ahead, eat the dog food. And then I ate the dog food and then he went, get in the car.
Oh, really backfired, didn't it?
Yeah.
So now you've got to do your communion and eat dog food.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the dog's hungry. Okay, next question. Who here worked as a clown for a bit? Who worked as a clown?
Carl.
Yes, Carl.
Higgy.
No, it was Joel Creasy.
I thought that'd be so
sucked
funny.
In.
Yeah. On your travels, you might have trained to be a clown.
No, definitely not. Mashed a few. Never was one.
It is good to see you again. So glad we could patch things up.
Now, I know your parents are McDonald's licensees,
yes.
Franchisees.
Mm, yep.
Was it, were you Ronald or was it a different clown?
No, I was too cool. Oh no, that was a different clown. Yeah. I wasn't Ronald. But when I did work at McDonald's, I worked in the McCafe. I was the McCafe manager. Yeah. Very cool. I got a little vest. It was fun. Yeah, you get a gold badge if you work in the McCafe.
Yeah.
Or if you're the son of the owner.
Yeah. But what about the clown? How long were you a clown for?
Oh, on and off for a few years. I was a clown, I was a magician. I was really just trying to find my voice. and turns out this is it. I was a clown for a while. And I had to do clowning at theatre school and all that bullshit.
Right,
yeah.
Yuck. Mm.
We'll get you to do a tumble at the end of the show. Okay. All right, who here accidentally sent a voice memo intended to a group of comedians to a very different WhatsApp group?
Luke.
Yes, Luke.
It's Carl.
It is Carl, yes. A point there for Luke, yeah.
This was brutal. My daughter was born and we were part of a new parents group. And I'm in a group of my three best comedian friends. And I won't lie, if it ever gets leaked, we're all in prison. But they kept winding me up about, are your new parent friends? So I kept getting these messages about how, you know, you've got your new parent friends. And I left quite a long voice memo saying, like, no, they're not even my real friends, man. They're a bunch of fucking idiots. And I was like, there's only one couple that I'd even ever hang out with after this first year's out the way. All that, sent it to the parent group. Yeah. I got a phone call 2 minutes later from one of the dads, crying laughing. Luckily, he's the one. He's the only one that is, like, really cool. I didn't say anything too bad. I mean, I was just saying, like, you know, they're not really my people. They're a bit boring and all that. And I was just sort of playing up to my friends. And then, yeah, he called me and said, you've sent that to us. Deleted. But when you delete a message, you can't see who saw it. So it's no one's ever mentioned it.
Yeah, right.
It's a total mystery.
Well, only 2 minutes.
Although one person has since left the group.
Yeah.
So, you know, they probably heard it.
Man, I sent a fart to the wrong person on WhatsApp.
Who's the right person?
Well, I'm in a fart group. And sometimes, like, they'll happen at night, and I haven't got my glasses on. I'm like, ah, oh, whatever. And you just press the wrong person. Fucking.
Who did you send it to?
It was fine. It was like a boss. But he took it all right.
Who's in
I don't
the
know.
Fart group?
who's in it.
Is it comedians or is it old family friends?
It's okay. It's comedians.
What's the first rule of fart group?
It's to sanitise your phone every morning.
You know who's in it because they've all got pink eye. Anyway, next question. Who, while working in customer service, had a three times or a please policy? Three times or a please. Oh. And then I'm sure they're going to say what it is.
Carl.
Yes, Carl.
Danielle.
No, it was Luke Hickey. Point off, Carl.
Sucked in. I was getting you on the hesitation.
Exactly.
So what's the three times or a please?
Well, people would come and say, give me this. I'd say, I beg your pardon. And I'd say, I beg your pardon three times. And either they'd say please on the second or third time, or not at all, but I've still made them repeat themselves three times. Most people in the world are about three beg your pardons away from being angry.
Yeah.
That's fucking good. Just got to get a little bit back.
Now, next question. Who here once had Fred Schneider of the B-52s in their audience?
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
Joel.
You are correct, Danielle. Yes, it was Joel, yeah.
How did you know that?
I was pretending to be Fred Schneider. Wow. I was so going, excited. Say something funny, cunt! Like, yeah. I don't think I've ever done a Fred Schneider impression.
That's really good.
Thank you, yeah. No, but where was it? I read about it.
He came to my show in New York, which was very exciting, but then it turns out he goes to, like, every single show, so it felt less exciting when someone told me that.
The B-52s are the reason that John Lennon came out of retirement.
Really?
Yeah. He and Yoko were dancing on a night at Studio 54 and they played Rock Lobster. And he go, what is this music? This is inspiring. I'm going to write. And then he wrote Imagine after that.
Oh, my God. I should have been nicer to him. Shit.
I used to work for a music show. Anyway. Who prints out their stand-up shows and gives it as a program for when their mum comes and sees them?
Joel.
Yes, Joel.
I need a point. I don't know who. Luke.
You are correct. Yes, it was Luke. Yeah.
Fucking sneak. My mum's deaf, so I'll just print him out. It's very clean. She thinks I'm a very clean comedian. It's fucking exhausting. I've got to write two shows every year.
Whose dermatologist prescribed them a medication and then
Luke.
Said, it can cause depression, but most people are happy to have their clear skin?
Joel.
Yeah, Luke's got
it first. I already said it. It's Danielle.
Yeah, it is Danielle. Yeah, you're correct, Luke, yes.
Yeah, that was psycho of her. She said, by the way, I only had like four pimples on my chin, and she was like, roll Accutane, most people get depression, but they're happy to have clear skin. Okay, I never took it, so... I'm okay, don't worry. But if you have depression, it's okay. Okay.
All right, next question. Who did a gig that was meant to be a safe space for people with anxiety, but the PA system was faulty and kept on making loud noises, causing everyone distress?
Luke.
Yes, Luke.
Carl.
You are correct, Luke. Yes, another point there for Luke.
It was so funny. Honestly, I know I shouldn't laugh. It was a proper safe space for people with, like, anxiety disorders, everything. And the audience was a real, like, mixed bag of... You could see everyone had some shit going on.
Jesus.
And then the compere went on and was telling everyone at the start what an inclusive, nice gig it was. Fuck. And the speakers blew, and this noise was like... And I was at the back of the room, and it caused me to have PTSD. So these poor fuckers in the room were all just, like, shaking. It's literally the last thing they wanted to happen.
My friend Bradley goes to an anxiety workshop every Saturday. I'm like, well, that's just triggered my anxiety. Yeah. Everyone has to get up, like, it's like AA and, like, tell a story. And he got up and told a story at anxiety workshop one Saturday. And then the following Saturday, someone got up to tell a story about how his story the week before had triggered their anxiety. Like, sign me up.
Have any of you done Edinburgh?
Was it in Melbourne?
Everyone here has done Edinburgh.
I've been there, but I didn't.
Yeah,
there's quite a famous audience member who's also a performer, but she's got quite severe Tourette's, and she shouts biscuits throughout the show because it's her word that she goes to not shout, fuck off, you cunt. Right. So she sort of has this sort of word she goes to. I went to see an inclusive show of Bryony Kimmins, who's a brilliant performance artist. And she, it was one of the ones where, so it's inclusive, so it was open to people with Tourette's and that. Mm. And she was doing a very serious bit about how her son was born and she wanted to record messages from his birth, you know, throughout his first years when he couldn't understand what she was saying, of like bits of advice that she might forget. And she said, and I remember the first time I recorded one, I said, and she was going to say something really profound, and the Tourette's lady went, "Don't fuck a dog." it's the most I've laughed ever in a show. And it was everyone trying to act like, no, that's fine, it's inclusive. And I'm just crying at the back of the room. Arguably, actually, very good advice as well.
Yeah. Who here once crashed their car in a ditch at night and had to wait 3 hours for any help?
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
Luke Heggie.
No, it was Carl Donnelly.
Yes.
A point, not Danielle.
Not sucked just crashed in. It, crashed into a ditch, had to wait 3 hours for the recovery, and it was in a remote country village in the UK, and the only radio station I could find on the radio that tuned in was telling a series of Welsh ghost stories.
and when the Welsh say, ooh, they really say, ooh.
And it was so cold, I didn't want my battery to run out, so I had the heating off. I was just sitting there, wrapped in a blanket, listening to ghost stories in a ditch. Oh.
Ghost stories in a ditch is a good show for your title for your show.
I'm still thinking about how offended I am that you answered that fucking quickly.
Well, no, because I just thought that, like, there's lots of ditches on the Bruce Highway in Queensland, and I didn't think...
ditches on every highway.
I just didn't think... Oh, for some reason, I was like, no, ditches in England.
Yeah. It's thatched cottages on the side.
The horses in...
And parts. I assumed that Joel didn't drive his own car. Yeah.
My boyfriend dropped me off tonight in our car.
And our final question for the game: whose family member got rid of a rat problem by pouring petrol down the rat holes and lighting it on fire?
Carl.
Yes, Carl.
Danielle.
You are correct, yes.
That is classic Danielle's dad, that.
It's my granddad. My dad likes leather bracelets.
Oh, yes, true.
So, did it work?
Yeah.
There's some great videos on YouTube of people doing that and just blowing up their entire backyard.
Well, we had quite a big backyard.
Yeah.
So it would just happen down near the chook pen, which was down... Because the rats would get into the chook pen and try and kill out... They would kill our chickens. Oh, so Grandad would come pour the petrol down the hole and he wouldn't... Like, the way he'd light it was he'd stand there till he'd finished his cigarette and then throw his last bit of the cigarette down. Well, that'll do it. He used to do it to lots of things. Like, if he saw a hole in the ground that potentially a lot of the time it would be like a trapdoor spider or something, he would just pour petrol down that and light it on fire. Granddad loves petrol.
Reminds me of old Bernie Startup. good old Bernie. Did you make that name up?
No, that's his...
That
was
okay. That's real.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Bernie. He's gone. Lung cancer, if you want to know. Heaps of pops. Had a pop at the night, too.
I missed you promoting the show on that one.
Boy. Not nearly famous enough.
All right, at the end of the game, the scores are Joel Creasy on 4 points. Everyone give it for Joel. Danielle Walker on 5 points. Carl Donnelly on 6 points. Also on 6 points, Luke Heggie. It's a tie. Heggie, because you're co-winner, you can promote your show first. Where's your show on? It's downstairs.
Oh, it's downstairs in this very venue every night for another week. Getting, I'm doing some extras, actually, in this very room we're at right now.
It was the first show I saw on the festival. It's so good. Make sure you go see Heggie's show. Give up, Luke Heggie. Carl, you've got another show that's been announced.
I finished mine. I'm
just
done,
here
mate.
For the goodness
I'm just here
of
for the just not being in the UK where COVID is.
Go for Carl anyway. Yay! Danielle, you got anything to plug?
No, I did. I just decided to come down to hang out this for the moment. So no.
Great. Give up, Danielle. Joel, you've got the radio every day.
Yes, and I've got one show next Saturday.
At the town hall?
Because I'm a really hard worker. Yes, at the town hall.
Town hall. Yeah. So what time?
I'm not sure. But next Saturday I'll be there at some point.
Great. Yeah. Kill for Joel, Chrissy Brood. Hey, thank you so much. We have one more of these. It's happening next week. The lineup is Edo, Cam James, Ben Russell, and one more who's not got back to me yet. So make sure you get a ticket. Also, my show, apparently, with Ben Lomas, is on for the rest of the festival. It's sold out tonight, sold out Tuesday, but there's tickets Wednesday and also next Sunday. That's all. You guys have been amazing. Thanks. I think you need to go down the back stairs, I think. Is that true? All right, cool, go down the back stairs. Unless you want to get a T-shirt, they're $50 there. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.